Romans chapter 6. Got a phone call. Can you turn me down just a little bit? Fire department just said it was a little loud. Got a phone call yesterday. It was about 10 o'clock or so, 10, maybe 11. So I'm talking to this person, and they said, Pastor Russo, I said, are you okay? And they said, yes. And they said, do you know what's going on? I said, I don't know what you're referencing. And he says, are you talking about the election? He goes, yes. Are you aware? Yeah. I was aware. I knew we were going to have a presidential election yesterday. And he's like, did you vote? I said, yes. He goes, good. Just making sure. I'm calling everyone I know, just making sure they voted. And I appreciate that. That was good. So last night I did exactly what I told you I was going to do. Say, what was that? Got a lot of popcorn and had some sodas and ginger ale and sat there and watched it unfold right before my eyes. And at 12:30, when all the newscasters were like, we have nothing really much more to say and we'll see you in the morning, kinda, I said, yep, see you in the morning, and I went to bed. I woke up quick. First thing I did, of course, I thanked Jesus for a new day. Not really. I looked at my phone. I did. I'll just be honest. I looked at my phone, scrolling through. Who won? So I opened up the map, and there's light blue and dark blue. There's light red and dark red, and still didn't know. This afternoon, this evening, we come to church, and we still don't know who's going to be our next president. It's looking like it's going one way. When I went to bed, it looked like it was going one way. When I woke up, I don't know what happened. Who wins? Who knows? I mean, certainly you can speculate. I mean, you have 50-50 chance, whatever you say. Romans chapter 6 tonight. Had the privilege of sitting down with Dave Georgiev today. Dave Georgiev is one of the most sincere, kindest men. He's good to have as a best friend. And I'm sitting with him, and he's talking some financial stuff. He's helping Sam, my 16-year-old, set up some long-term financial things, and Sam wants to make sure he's being wise with what he has, and praise the Lord. So I'm like, I know a guy. So we're sitting there talking to Mr. Georgiev. And as much as Dave tries to, you got to be careful when you're talking finances. There's no guarantee. We look at the election. We look at health. We look at finances and go, is there any guarantees? Yes. Jesus Christ is our guarantee. And I come to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Guaranteed. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a song we have sung before here called Victory in Jesus. I do believe it is one of Brother Rice's favorite songs. I don't know who's going to win the election. I don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know how finances turn out. I don't know who's going to be sick next week. But I know this. In the end, Jesus Christ wins. Number one, through Jesus Christ and His victory, we also get in on the victory. Isn't that a blessing? Number one, we get victory over the penalty of sin. See, when I read Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." And that's not necessarily talking about a physical death, although your life is will come quickly to an end if you choose a sinful lifestyle. I'm telling you. You'll hurt your body. You'll damage your body. But that's not what that's talking about. That's talking about a spiritual death. And we know that the payment for our sin is hellfire. That is very real. That is very true. But Jesus Christ has victory over the sin penalty. Not only does he take away death, but he gives us eternal life. We'll talk about that. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. So if you're anxious tonight, and you're watching the news, and you're watching, I don't know what channel everyone watched. I don't know. Maybe you didn't watch any of it. You say, "I went to bed happy last night. I also had popcorn, but I didn't have to watch stuff. And I didn't have to listen to people talk back and forth." And that's fine. That's great. We watched, I would say WXXI, but that's not national, whatever that is. PBS, thank you. And they work with the Associated Press, and the Associated Press has been calling presidential elections since 1848, and I felt like that was a safe way to go. Who knows? And I'm watching that, and maybe you didn't watch that and said I had a good night. And all we want to know is who won. I'll tell you who won. You and I won. Say why? Because Jesus Christ had victory over our sin. He paid for it. And the penalty of sin has been removed. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." The victory over the sin penalty is completely contingent upon the goodness and the strength of God. I can't earn it. I can't pay for it. I can't produce enough merits that warrants forgiveness. It's just simple childlike faith and humility asking Jesus to forgive me of sin. And we win. There's a victory in Jesus. There's victory over the sin penalty. This is not... Brother Rice and I are reading in the same spot in our Bible. So we've been kind of fellowshipping together in the book of Numbers. This is... The payment for sin is nothing new. I want to show you this in Leviticus chapter 17. In Leviticus 17... In studying it, Leviticus 17, verse 11, a familiar portion of this verse, Leviticus 17, 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." How many of you ever heard that before, right? You could probably quote that. But there's more to the verse. "And I have given it to you." See, previous to these, the first 10 verses, it's instructing Israel, don't drink blood, don't touch blood, stay away from that. And he says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Context makes sense. But he goes one step further. He says, "And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." He's saying, hey, don't drink blood. Don't touch blood. It's unclean if you do it. You got to stay this and do all these things. And, oh, by the way, that blood makes an atonement for your soul. "For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Leviticus chapter 17, 1,500 years before the birth of Christ, it's well established that the blood is going to pay the penalty and have victory over the penalty of sin. And over again, we read it through the Old Testament, and over again, we see it in the New. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Victory over sin penalty. I'm thankful for that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. "Who his own self bear our sins in our own body on the tree. He paid it in full that day. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. When you read through the Gospels and you read about the whip across the back and you read about the crown of thorns, please place yourself in that spot, because that is what you should have gotten. We deserve the penalty of our sins. He did not. But yet, he went through all that to redeem us, to purchase us, that we could have victory over the penalty. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, last verse on this thought, which will segue right to our next thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that... I feel like it's Paul's acting like a teenager. I'm sorry, what? What? Well, I just told you something very important. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? Hey, don't you know that? And he says this in verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. How many of you received victory over the sin penalty? Praise the Lord. I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die today, where I'm going to spend eternity. Because of that, therefore, because you're bought with a price, because there's victory in Jesus, because there's victory over sin, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, here's the problem. When I trust Christ, I don't stop sinning. True? Very true. He saved me from the penalty of it, but he's also given me the ability to have daily victory over it. Victory over sin in our daily living. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says this, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now thanks be to God, be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Can we just be honest for a moment? Has there been times when we have not been victorious over the flesh? Yes. It doesn't have to be that way, though. God, not only is there victory in Jesus over the sin penalty, but number two, there is victory in daily living. It's available. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin. Today, I was all excited, Roger. About a week and a half, time goes by quickly. Maybe about 3 weeks ago, an interior light bulb went out inside my, where's Roy? My nice truck, 2008 Honda Ridgeline truck. So you can't just buy one, so I bought enough lights to replace every light on the entire vehicle. 18 of them. Bought it $19.99 online. Boom, right to my house, 3 days. There I go, and I'm putting them all in. And I failed to read the fine print of... There's three different kinds of light bulbs. I'm an expert on interior lighting on vehicles right now. There's three different kinds of light bulbs inside my vehicle. They sent me a bunch of these, some of these, some of these. I needed more of these. So I contacted the company. They said, well, we pretty much said in the description of what we were sending you, and you bought that, so no fault of ours. So I went and I bought more of these. So there I was today, getting the last bit of lighting inside my... After church, we can go open up the vehicles and it makes it look new. It's light. It's white. It's nice. But there was one little cover I was having a hard time with, so I couldn't get the... So I ran inside, and instead of running, we're doing a project upstairs, instead of running all the way upstairs to get a flathead screwdriver, I know what I'll do. I'll just go to the silverware drawer and get a butter knife, because that is the exact same thing. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. There's a right way to use a tool, and there's a wrong way. Say, Pastor Russo, why do you have Band-Aids on your head? Stop asking questions. Stop. Instruments of righteousness. You are designed with a purpose and a plan, and God does not want sin to reign on you. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that were alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Jesus Christ has given us an ability not only to save us, given us victory over the sin penalty, but has made an ability and a victory that we could live daily as instruments of righteousness. Man, that's a blessing. Daily living. Say, how on earth could I ever? It says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Praise the Lord. Remember, it was the same thing that brought the victory over the sin penalty. It was his gift of grace. Here it is again. So how do I do that? Well, Proverbs 28:13 tells me that if I confess my sin, if I'm honest with him, but unfortunately, we just carry things way too long. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Say, Pastor, it's just so hard. No kidding, it's hard. No doubt. I don't disagree with you, but that's not an excuse. It's not a viable excuse. It certainly is an excuse because the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Say, what does that mean? There's victory in Jesus Christ. Daily living for him. You sin because you choose to sin. It's a choice. There's no temptation that has a stronger hold on you than the power and victory of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 5. We'll look at the two verses there, and then we'll move on to our last point. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Hey, let not sin reign in your... Hey, you've been freed from that. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Look in that same chapter. Look over in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Daily living, be spiritual. Seek the Lord. It'll help overcome. You don't understand the weight of my flesh. God understands that, and he made a way out of that. He's given you a victory over that. You're freed from that. Free from sin to walk in the Spirit. Anybody ever take a couple steps in sin? I Anybody ever take a couple steps in the Spirit? Can I ask you which one's better? Where would you rather live? Fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Or being led and guided by the Spirit of God? See, it's just so hard. I understand it's hard. But there's victory in Jesus. Over our sin penalty, number two, over in our daily living. And thirdly, see, he didn't just save us from the penalty of sin, but he's also given us victory over death itself. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 54, it says this: "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption..." I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I mean, I'm talking to a spry young crowd here. Our bodies are breaking down. I know. They're corrupting. "So when this corruptible, but one day, I am going to shed this corruptible body, and I'm going to put on something. Something called incorruption. And this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That is only through Jesus Christ." Not just the penalty of sin, but death itself. We are going to be given eternal life. What a great promise. "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?" It's mocking. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There's victory in Jesus. Romans chapter 6, we'll look at two verses, maybe three. Could be four. We'll see. We'll see if heads start peeking out and seeing if, are you almost done? Romans chapter 6, look at this, verse 8. "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." Anybody tell me where Christ is right now? Right hand of the Father. Where's that? We talked about this we sang the song on Sunday night. In Mount Zion on the sides of the north. Wherever that is. We call it heaven. Heaven. "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him." And it pairs us with that. "For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." If there's a victory to be had in your life, it is through Jesus Christ. Victory over the penalty of sin, victory in daily living for God Himself, victory in over death. It is all and only through Jesus. I don't know who's going to win. Without sounding apathetic, quite honestly, I don't care. I do. I mean, it's my country. I love my country. But I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And regardless of who's sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, whether it's Donald Trump or Joe Biden or whoever, Jesus Christ is still my Savior. And my biggest problem has been solved by Him. He's given me purpose and direction in my daily life. And I even have something to look forward to. They say Great Depression, not the Great Depression, but depression and self-wallow takes root in people's hearts on the return visit after vacation. Say why? Because they have nothing to look forward to. Many of doctors will testify of the having to see patients over depression, and it's linked, or there's a common coming off of those things because they waited and they worked and they prepared and they did all this, and then they come home and they got nothing else to look forward to for another year. I get 2 weeks off, and now they're gone. Now for the next 50 weeks, I'm chained to the cubicle, right? Oh. Hey, God didn't just save us from something. He didn't just, and if he just saves us from the penalty of sin, it'd be good. But he's given us the ability to have victory in him on a daily, but he's also given us something to look forward to. He's given us a victory over death itself. He's promised us something called eternity. Look at Revelation chapter 21, and we'll stop there. Revelation chapter 21. Like you, I've been praying for our election. I don't care who gets inaugurated on, what is it, January 21st, I think, or something like that, 20th. I don't care who's getting, I will continue to pray for my president. Why? Because I'm commanded to, according to God. Whether I agree with them or disagree with them. I don't care who's up there. All my life, I'm going to be faithful and praying and voting. I'm going to do both. But don't let an election stunt your faith. Why? Because we have victory in Jesus. So, would you be singing something different if it went all right? Man, I'd probably be a little happier. Me personally, that's just me talking. But that, the last 24 hours helped me come back to the fact of I'm a child of the King. Revelation chapter 21, let's look at these couple verses and we'll be done. 21 verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know that's for you and me, right? Isn't that great? And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, look at these next three words. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. There's some things to look forward to. God has given us the victory over our sin penalty. God has given us victory over our flesh to help us walk for him. But thirdly, I have something to look forward to. The victory in eternity. Victory in Jesus. Let's stand. I promised, say you shouldn't do this. I promised Mrs. Wilson tonight that we're going to sing. So is she on there? If she's not, we're not singing it. She's not. All right, we don't have to sing God Bless America. There you go. Should we sing it? All right, let's all stand. We'll sing God Bless America. Say, where's that in my hymnal? It's in your heart. You're an American. Come on. There you go. All right, are we ready? We'll just sing the chorus. All right, everybody nice and loud. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, through the ocean,
white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. Not because we're Americans, but because you love the whole world, that you sent your Son to pay for our sins. Thank you. Lord, thank you that we can have victory over the penalty of our sin. Thank you that through Christ, we can have the victory over our flesh. Thank you that we can have one day victory over death itself. Lord, I long to see you. Until then, help us to be found faithful. Lord, thank you for this dear family that you brought to us tonight. I pray that we could be an encouragement and help to them along the way. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.